Well, good morning and welcome to all, particularly our guests who join us here today at the Madeleine for the offering of the Sunday Mass. And a special welcome and congratulations to Jackson Knox, who will be receiving his Eagle Scout Award after this Mass, and to all the members of his Scout troop and other family members and friends that are here today to join us for the Mass and then for the Court of Honor afterwards. So God bless you and a job well done. A longtime member of our parish, Mike Kohler, died last Sunday at the age of 90. And his funeral mass was this last Friday, along with his burial. Please remember to keep Mike in your prayers, that his soul will be at rest in consolation to his wife, Mary Ann, and to their family. Eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon him. May his soul and the souls of all the faithful departed to the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen. My thanks to Monsignor Dorney, who substituted for me while I was away last weekend. My thanks also to those who took part in the prayer vigil on Wednesday afternoon for the execution that did not take place, as well as those who yesterday, we had approximately 70 of our parishioners who went out for our annual outreach day to work at emergency infant services, or to the Tulsa Food Bank, where they moved approximately 3 tons of food. And so job well done on that as well. And also those that were here and to package dog food that will be other pet food that will be distributed to the homeless of Tulsa to help feed their pets as well. And please, for the pet blessing later today, at 2 o'clock, guests of all species are welcomed. Just make sure they're on a leash or in a carrier as such. And please know that we have a blood drive going on right today, going until 1 o'clock, and walk-ins are welcome. Some things that we are starting because of the listening sessions we recently had, one of the things we're bringing back is the men's prayer breakfast. We meet on Wednesday mornings at 6 a.m. We finish at 7:15. If you wish to receive information about this, we're looking at the gospel reading for the next coming Sunday. And we will send out by email information about that, our discussion questions and such. There's a sign up for that in the vestibule after, you may see that after Mass. Please know with our theology uncorked with Father O'Brien on Thursday, we do have child care provided, so families, are welcome to come, as well. And also, we have a pro-life prayer breakfast, this coming Saturday morning at 9 a.m. in the parish hall. Georgette Fournier, who founder Silent No More and Anglicans for Life, will be our guest speaker. We're doing this in conjunction with an Anglican congregation, part of our 40 Days of Life observance. And our sign up for to pray for the 40 days is October the 18th. So we have sign up for that after Mass as well. And then next Sunday, we have our parish picnic and fall festival combined. And we're going to feature something new, a dunk tank. And so all I'm asking is that the water, an attempt to make it warm. And so, but people are welcome to come. And so maybe a new draw for this event. Kim Saltmarch Dietz, age 59. Lucero Alcazar, age 19. Jason Dale Johnson, age 33. Quinn Glenn Cooper, age 18. Lucas Irabel, age 18. Lawrence Levine, age 67. Serena Dawn Moore, age 44. Trevin Taylor Anspach, age 20. Rebecca Ann Carnes, age 18. The names and ages of the dead from this last week's shooting at a community college in Oregon. I've never liked the word victim. It's too anonymous. in a way, kind of takes away the humanity of those who suffered from violence. Those who died had names. They had families and friends. They had a life. It was taken from them by an act of violence. So we should know the names of those that we pray for. Yet another mass shooting and yet another debate about the why and the how, in which much of the talk seems always to be directed past each other instead of to each other. Too much of the focus seems to be on talking instead of listening. Much is made that there being too many guns in the hands of too many of the wrong people, and this is an accurate statement in itself. But the emphasis is usually placed on there being too many guns. What seems to get overlooked is the part about the too many of the wrong people. Who are they? Those who commit these acts of violence. Some are clearly suffering from severe mental illness. The shooter in Tucson a few years ago would be a good example of that. A young man suffering from schizophrenia that was untreated. And when those such as him go untreated and have access to firearms, it is an indictment upon us as a society about how poorly we are caring for them. And I do believe there are political and legal solutions in such cases to prevent these acts of violence. But what about the others? We just simply can't dismiss all of them as delusional or sick. And what's becoming an all too familiar pattern, those who commit these acts of violence appear to be mostly young men who feel utterly cut off from the rest of society, with no meaningful relationships with their families or peers, no sense of belonging, no clear identity. They see themselves as completely alone, invisible to others. Their hopelessness turns to anger, which turns to hatred, which turns to violence. They embrace a nihilistic and narcissistic view of the world, meaning since they do not believe in an objective moral truth, they see themselves as empowered to determine what is right and what is wrong. They see themselves as empowered to literally decide who lives and who dies. Obsessed with violence, they turn to it, releasing their rage on others, sometimes based on their race, as we saw in the church shooting in Charleston, South Carolina. Or sometimes they turn on former co-workers, as we saw with the two journalists in Virginia. Or they turn on fellow students, as in Oregon, and perhaps based on religion. There are reports that the shooter deliberately targeted Christians. Now, a word of caution. Let's make sure that the reports are accurate before we run too far with that on social media. What appears to get overlooked when we have the arguments over guns after such shootings is that our society seems to be producing more of these wrong people. Take away their guns? Yes, there would be far less a possibility of them committing acts of mass violence. That is true. But the anger will still be there. But there is something terribly wrong in a society that is producing desperate, violent loners. For a people of faith, the root cause of this should be clear. It's the effects of the original sin, the fall from grace. It is the manifestation of evil, and for which there is no political or legal solution. What then are we as a people of faith, the body of Christ, the church, to do in lighting candles in the midst of this darkness? Clearly, the situation is complex, but I believe that the scriptures that we hear today on this Respect Life Sunday can point us in the right direction. First is the emphasis on strong families. In the creation account in the book of Genesis that we hear today, we are reminded that we were not created to be alone. God did not make us to be loners. The man discovers his completeness in the woman, the bone of my bones, the flesh of my flesh. And the family is a community, each member in union with the other and with God. The family is the basic building block, not only of society, but also of the church. That's why we refer to the family at times as the domestic church. Wherever two or more are gathered in my name, Jesus says, there I am in their midst. And if our families that we are members of by blood or by marriage are not suitable for this, I believe that there are healthy substitutes to give us a sense of belonging, of identity, and of purpose. Jesus in today's gospel condemns the hardness of the heart that leads to divorce. It's not part of the original plan of creation. But also keep in mind, what also is being condemned is the practice of divorce in his time. At least in Jewish circles, women were powerless in the equation and extremely vulnerable to the hardness of the hearts of their husbands. A remedy for the hardened heart of a narcissist loner is being part of a community, one in which our presence matters, that we become responsible for others. Pope Francis, when he's here in the United States recently, you know, he came not directly to address Congress or the UN, as good as that was. The main reason why he came was to address and be part of the World Conference of Families that was being held in Philadelphia. It's an event that, as a church, that is held somewhere in the world every 3 years. So he came primarily for that, and the going to Congress and the UN was part of an addition to it. One of those who was also at that conference in Philadelphia and spoke is a man by the name of Jim Gaffigan. He's a comedian and an actor, and he's also a practicing Catholic. As a husband and father of 5 small children, he sees how the vocation of marriage and family, which God has entrusted to him, has changed his life for the better. Before marriage, while not being a desperate loner, Gaffigan has said that his outlook was basically that of a self-centered, selfish young man. His wants, his needs, his career coming first. That was until he married and became a parent. That changed him. For the emphasis then shifted from his needs to those of his wife and of his children. He says that each of his 5 children have made him a better man. And as a comedian, he goes on to say that if he were only to have about 35 more children, he might actually become a decent human being. So his words, not mine. That's how he looks at it. Second, as the church, we are challenged to see ourselves as a community, as a family of faith, united particularly by water and the Holy Spirit and baptism, united to each other and to Christ in the Eucharist. It draws us out of our self-centeredness, out of the temptation of being isolated. We have a sense of belonging. We recognize that we are made holy or consecrated, as the New Testament letter to the Hebrews puts it, in our relationship to Jesus, when we are not then ashamed to call each other brothers and sisters in Christ. It becomes our identity. It becomes our purpose. Nor are we ashamed to invite others to come and join us in this community so that they too can recognize that they have value in the eyes of God. For what if from an early age we invited those who see themselves as cut off and alone to join us? If we welcomed them into this consecrated community of the church, perhaps we wouldn't have to worry about guns in the hands of the wrong people, because they would not grow up to become the wrong people. For as the church, we become responsible for the good of others. As Pope Francis said before Congress, we are to protect human life in every stage of its development. That's why we have today's Catholic Charities appeal going throughout the entire diocese this weekend, that we recognize that our responsibility to the hungry, to the sick, to the immigrant, to the dying, and all those others who are in need. That's why we have the 40 Days for Life vigil, that we are responsible for the unborn and their parents. That is why we held the vigil on Wednesday, that we are responsible to pray for those who die by violence and those condemned to death. As a people consecrated to Christ, as His church, we gather again this day in this act of worship to be made again holy by word and sacrament. May we recognize and accept the responsibility the Lord has entrusted to us today.